Well, good morning, everybody. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the July 6th, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kotkamp, and I've been appointed by Chelan County to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include appeals of administrative decisions. That's what we have on the agenda for today. Now, I consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials that are already on file, in order to make my decision. The hearing process has certain rules, but I still try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a procedure we're going to use. And we'll take each item separately. In fact, I should note for the record right now that the last item on today's agenda, AA22-248, if anybody came to watch this hearing, that appeal has been withdrawn, so we only have two items on today's agenda. So for each item on today's agenda, staff will present their report and make whatever recommendations that they wish to make. Then the applicant, or the appellant in these cases, or the appellant's representative is given an opportunity to present their testimony and evidence. The appellant does have the burden of proof to show compliance, or to burden of proof to show that the administrative decision was in error. Because these are administrative appeals, there's not a portion of this hearing that's for public participation or public testimony. These are matters that are between the decision that was made by Chelan County and then an appeal of that decision. So allowing public testimony outside of what's already part of the record would not be proper. And so no public testimony will be allowed. I just wanted to let you know that. For the appellant, if anybody's going to testify, I'm going to have you state your name and address, and then I'll swear you in as a witness. I have the option to keep the record open if I think there's a need for additional written testimony to be submitted on either of these items that we're going to hear today. But in any event, my written decision will be made within 10 working days after I close the public record. Except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests to reopen the hearing and requests for reconsideration, my decision on both of these matters will be final and conclusive unless they are appealed. Appeals are by means of what's called a land use petition action. They have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if an appeal is not timely filed, an appeal would be barred. Bottom line is that if you're considering an appeal of any of my decisions, you should seek immediate legal advice. I've reviewed both items on today's agenda. I don't have any interest in either of the properties or the proposals to be heard today, and I will be able to fairly and objectively consider each item on today's agenda. And outside of receiving or reviewing the staff report for each item, along with all the attachments in the staff report, including all the application material, original application materials, there's appeal materials that have been submitted. And then there, for the first item on today's agenda, there's additional items that were received late last night. Other than those items, reviewing those items, I've not had any communication regarding either item that's on today's agenda. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner for either item, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, hearing none, we'll turn to the first item on today's agenda. As I indicated, this is an administrative appeal of a denial of a short-term rental permit application. This is given application number AA22-235. Now, for the record, I'm going to admit into the record the staff report, all the materials relied upon by staff in rendering their denial letter. I'll admit into the record their denial letter. I will admit all of the appeal materials that have been submitted, including the January 5th, 2022 letter from Mr. Hitchcock to the hearing examiner that was received late last night, and the June 30th, 22 declaration of Mr. Hitchcock, along with exhibits A through I. All those items will be admitted into the record at this time by this reference, and I'll turn this letter over to Ms. Riles for the staff presentation.
Thank you, good morning. So the property in question is located at 12685 Maple Street in Leavenworth, Washington. The applicant submitted materials to apply for an existing non-conforming short-term rental permit. The provisional permit was granted November 15th, pending full review. Code 1188-294-DII states that an application or issuance of any provisional short-term rental permit does not guarantee future issuance of a short-term rental administrative land use permit. Code 1188 section 290 section 2C4B also states all existing non-conforming claims within a UGA will be subject to joint review by the county and the affected city. Applicant submission materials were scanned and sent to Lilith Thespier in Leavenworth for joint review May 13th of 2022. Response was received same day from Ms. Vespier, noting that the access onto the property is in the RR5 zoning, but that the main portion of the parcel where the STR lies is in the RL10 zoning, and STRs are not allowed in that zone. Ms. Vespier indicated the owner could have a bed and breakfast there, but not an STR. Applicant's permit was not allowed because of the Leavenworth UGA did not permit STRs in RL10 zoning. May 16th, 2022, a letter was sent to the applicant notifying them of the denial of the existing non-conforming status. May 23rd of 2022, property manager sent the STR manager a link to a February 11th, 2019 hearing examiner decision from the Maple Street plat alteration, PA 2018-355, in which there was determination that this the Wegmans parcel was not in the UGA. GIS mapping shows that the access parcel area of the parcel is not in the UGA, but the majority of the parcel is in the UGA, which is where the proposed STR lies. May 24th, STR manager responded to the property manager and Kelly Wegman that the provided materials had been reviewed and letting them know that the denial decision would stand. On May 26th, an appeal request was received from the applicant and associated fees paid. Staff recommends denial be upheld based on the applicant not qualifying for the status based on Chelan County Code 1188-290 and joint review with Leavenworth, and finding the short-term rental business activity is not allowed in the zone in which the property is located in the Leavenworth UGA.
All right, thank you very much. All right, Mr. Hitchcock, is the appellant ready to proceed?
Yes, Mr. Kotkamp, and good morning. I see Lou and Kelly Wegman are here over Zoom with us. We do not anticipate that they will give any testimony today. However, in the event you have specific questions that I'm unable to answer that they can answer, I think it would be appropriate to direct questions to them as necessary.
All right, will you be providing any testimony today?
Yes, Mr. Kotkamp, I will be providing, I'll give you an explanation of our reasoning an explanation of why we believe that the GIS mapping just incorrectly shows the location of the UGA boundary.
All right, I'm gonna put you under oath then real quick, okay? All right, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, thank you. And again, you are the attorney for the appellants today, is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Kotkamp.
All right, now please proceed.
Thank you. The crux of this argument, at least initially, is that the Wegmans short-term rental operation, their actual home, is located in the RR5 zone. And the basis for that belief and the basis for that argument begins with the City of Leavenworth's comprehensive plan, which was adopted in 1996. That comprehensive plan, the original map, was adopted with Ordinance 1005, which was attached to my declaration as Exhibit C. Now, if you look at that original comprehensive plan zoning map, it shows the UGA boundaries, and it contains, it does not show where the Wegmans property was is ultimately platted. It doesn't show its boundary lines, but it does show that the UGA boundary is a fair distance below the Maple Street, which is the access street off of which the Wegmans property is located. So they adopted Ordinance 1005 adopted that provisional map. And then the additional ordinances adopting or addressing the comprehensive zone map are also attached to my declaration and as exhibits D, E, F, and G. Each of those comprehensive plan zoning maps show that the UGA boundary has been unchanged since 1996 all the way through the adoption of Ordinance 1559, which is the 2017 comprehensive plan, City of Leavenworth's most recent comprehensive plan update. And it takes a little bit of comparing. And so it's a bit of a challenge to demonstrate this just verbally or in writing. I think what I would like the hearing examiner to take from this is a comparison of the UGA boundary and the Maple Tracks plat, which was also coincidentally really also recorded in 1996. A comparison shows that the UGA boundary on those zoning maps is roughly, and again, roughly 300 feet south of Maple Street. 300 feet south of Maple Street would if you then cross-reference the UGA map with the boundary shown 300 feet south of Maple Street with the location of the Wagmans plat and their home on that plat, shows that their home is only roughly the back of their home is 250 feet from the south edge of Maple Street. And the GIS maps, while we realize that, you know, that they're instructive for purposes of determining zoning district boundaries, the official comprehensive zoning plan map is the authoritative document that shows the official location. And I forgot one thing, Mr. Kottkamp. The actual location of the Wagmans' home is shown on Exhibit H, their existing non-conforming short-term rental application, where they included in their site plan. That's a satellite imagery that shows that their home is located very close to and very near the northern boundary of their parcel. So it does take some cross-referencing, ultimately, based on the comprehensive zone map and based on the location of their home, we contend that it's located within the RR5 zoning district. And as a general, there's not a lot of Washington case law on this topic. Most of the split zoning references within Westlaw and LexisNexis are tax issues. However, the general rule for split zoning is that the zoning district, which the use is actually located within, is the applicable zoning regulation. And so the Wagmans short-term rental property being located within that RR5 zoning, or their actual rental home being located within that RR5 zoning district, would be permitted under the county short-term rental ordinance because the RR5 zone extends 300 feet south of Maple Street to where the UGA boundary for the city of Leavenworth crosses their property. In addition to that, the Wagmans their entire subdivision, the Maple Track subdivision, the Wagmans property is the only one that is has split zoning or split by the UGA boundary. And then the parcel to their east also has a split zone. However, it's those are the only two parcels, at least in that area of the northeast portion of the city of Leavenworth. There are no other parcels with split zoning. And the Wagmans are not served by city facilities. They're not benefited by any of the urban development or urban services that are typically accompany or a UGA located property. And if their home is located within the UGA, then that would be contrary to the intent of the comprehensive plan policy, which is to construe subdivisions as a group. Leavenworth, the Leavenworth Comprehensive Plan, I think policy number 17020040 indicates that the the goal and intent of the comprehensive plan is to construe subdivisions as a group and to keep them zoned similarly. And in this case, the Wagmans would lose the benefit of that similar zoning policy, that similar zoning intent, because they would be the only property with different zoning out of all of the other parcels within their subdivision. Do you have, I realize, Mr. Kottkamp, that the explanation I've given may be difficult to comprehend, but
I understand what you're saying about the UGA boundary and how it's created and that this is a split parcel. And I certainly understand that.
Okay. Yeah. And I wanted to make sure that you had the locations to cross-reference. The maps that we provided attached to the exhibits in the declaration really are the crux. And I wish I could do like a PowerPoint presentation to show you those direct comparisons one-to-one. However, I have no idea how to do that over Zoom. I hope that really what I'm trying to do is just point you in the right direction so that you can see it with your own eyes, because there is a discrepancy between the GIS map location of that UGA boundary and the actual comprehensive plan map that shows the official UGA boundary. And then the alternative argument the Wagmans have, and this is an argument that you're familiar with, Mr. Kottkamp, we've made it in other cases as well, is that the Wagman property qualifies for recognition as an existing non-conforming short-term rental because it was in operation prior to it was in operation prior to July 28th, 2019. The Wagmans purchased their property in 2018 and then began renting it as a short-term rental in early 2019. Wagmans short-term rental permit application shows that they began paying excise taxes on their short-term rental business in January of 2019. And as such, since they were in operation prior to that key cutoff date under subsection 1188-292C-IVA, they are eligible, and in a plain reading of the short-term rental code, the Wagmans are eligible for to continue their operation as an existing short-term rental as an existing non-conforming short-term rental. And just to recite this argument, even though I know that you've heard it before, subsection 2CV of the short-term rental code provides that key safe harbor provision, which says that if a property is an existing non-conforming short-term rental, then it is not subject to the limitations of subsection 2C. And the subsection 2C is the subsection that says that the county adopted the short-term all of the regulations and ordinances and requirements of city UGAs like the Leavenworth UGA. And that those are applicable. However, subsection 2CV provides a safe harbor because it says if they were in operation before that key date of July 28, 2019, they're existing non-conforming short-term rentals. So then the Wagmans, it is my position and it's our argument that the Wagmans must comply with the requirements of subsection 2E, which are summarized in my written briefing, but which the Wagmans did comply with, and that's not the basis. Their failure to comply with subsection 2E is not the basis for the county's denial. The basis for the county's denial is solely the location. So in the event you determine that my mapping presentation is not accurate, we still contend that the Wagmans are eligible to continue operating their short-term rental as an existing non-conforming short-term rental under that subsection 2C, the safe harbor provision.
So, I understand part two of the argument very well. We've heard that several times. Part one, going back to it, I was looking at Ms. Vespier's comment. So the bottom line is you just disagree with her analysis of the location and zonings. Is that fair? Is that how you go?
Disagree, I don't think is the right characterization, but I think, you know, generally speaking, I do disagree. I think it's not that I disagree, it's that the Leavenworth Comprehensive Plan zoning map disagrees. Her analysis and determination that it's within the UGA is not supported by the Comprehensive Plan zoning map. It's simply that the Comprehensive Plan zoning map shows that the UGA boundary is 300 feet south of Maple Street. It does not show that is 200 feet south of Maple Street, and that is more the front of the Wagman's home is about 220 feet south of the Maple Street, and the back of their home is approximately 250 feet south of Maple Street. But it's not that I disagree that she's wrong. It's that I don't think it's clearly not supported by the UGA map.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously that's just something that I can look at and make a determination of. Is there anything else from the appellant at this time?
I have nothing additional. Thank you for your time today, Mr. Kottkamp.
All right. You're very welcome. And is there anything further from staff?
No, thank you.
All right, Mr. Hitchcock, what I want to do is I'm going to close the public record portion of the hearing then at this time. I'll take a careful look at all of the items. I agree with the appellant as to the stated county basis for the denial. And so that's the issue that I will be primarily focused on, just so that you're aware of that. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cochran.
We'll turn to the second item on today's agenda. This is also an administrative appeal of a denial of a short-term rental permit. This is given application number AA22-247. I will admit into the record all of the staff report and all of the information relied upon by staff in making its determination. I will admit all of the appellant's original application materials as well as all their appeal materials. And I will turn this matter over to staff for their presentation.
Thank you. Property in question here for AA22-247 is located at 12296 West Sugart Flats Road in Plain, Washington. Applicant submitted materials to apply for a Tier 2 non-owner occupied short-term rental. An applicant was granted a provisional permit November 17th, pending full review of that application. Chelan County Code 1188-294-DII states that application or issuance for any provisional short-term rental permit does not guarantee for future issuance of a short-term rental administrative land use permit. The provisional permit is intended to be temporary and only in effect while the department reviews all permits applications for compliance with Chelan County regulations, including this chapter for the 21-22 permit years. Chelan County Code 1188-293-AI states that short-term rentals must be operated out of an owner's primary dwelling or an legally established accessory dwelling unit. In no case shall an owner or operator make available a recreational vehicle, tent, or other temporary mobile or short-term rental. Parcel in question has multiple unpermitted building projects to include an addition of a bedroom in the garage space and two sleeping cabins, which are not allowable per code. These are not legally established dwelling units. May 16, 2022, letter denying STR permit was sent to the applicant. May 24th, 22, owners emailed additional information for consideration. May 25th, final letter denying STR permit was sent to the applicant. And on June 8th, 2022, administrative appeal was filed with community development with the associated application fees. Staff recommends that the denial be upheld based on the applicant not qualifying for the status based on Chelan County Code 1188-290 as it relates to short-term rentals and the unpermitted structures on the parcel.
All right, thank you very much. Just a second here. All right, is the appellant ready to proceed?
I am.
All right, sir, can you state your name and an address for the record?
Yep, my name is Jonathan Oltis. Primary address is 4811 Burke Avenue North, Seattle, Washington, 98103. Leavenworth address is 12296 West Sugar Flats Road, Leavenworth, Washington.
All right, sir, I'm going to have you raise your right hand for me. Sir, do you swear or affirm penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
I do.
All right, thank you. And once again, you are one of the property owners and the appellants today. Is that correct?
Yep. My wife and I own it.
All right. What would you like to tell me, sir?
Main reason for the appeal is that we were not aware that the outside building projects, the cabin and the bedroom in the basement, were not permitted, as we were offering it for rental, and then applied for a rental permit, including those areas. As soon as we discovered that those areas were not permitted and constructed without proper oversight by the prior owners that we had purchased it from, we've removed those non-permitted structures from the rental and locked the doors to make them unavailable to guests, and want to reduce the rental permit application to only include the permitted space, the legal permitted space, which include, which is just one bedroom above the original garage on the property. We believe by locking those spaces to remove them from guest use and not offering them as part of the rental, that we should be able to continue to use the space as rental property, as the unpermitted areas won't be part of the rental agreement at all. And that's the sum of it and the crux of it. Let's see.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, that's what I gathered from your materials, and I have staff's response to that that was submitted before you had your submitted your appeal. So is there anything else that you'd like to add at this time, Mr. Oltis?
No, I appreciate your help in understanding better how we could become legal to rent some part of the property in the future if we aren't now, but we believe we should be now as we are not offering the unpermitted areas.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Riles, is there anything else from staff?
Nothing further, thank you.
All right, sir, what I'm going to do is I am going to close the public record portion of this hearing. I'll have to take a look at this and the reason for the we have an application, and then essentially we have an amended application. We have staff's position regarding the unpermitted areas, and I have to determine whether or not limiting access or prohibiting access to those areas somehow makes the short-term rental now potentially permitted. So I'll look at that very carefully. I'll have a written decision made within the next 10 working days.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. As I said at the start of the hearing, the third item on today's agenda, AA22-248, that matter has been withdrawn. The appellant has withdrawn the appeal, so that matter is not on here on the record anymore. And there are now no other items on today's agenda. Thank you all very much for coming. I am now going to adjourn this July 6, 2022 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner, and everybody have a great day. Thank you very much for coming. This meeting is adjourned.